Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I can't believe how much people are still talking about the Green Bay Packers after their Monday Night Football loss. It seems like every show I turn on, whether it's radio, whether it's television, whether it's podcasts, or I'm scrolling through, and I know that the social media aggregates stuff to your preferences, to your likes, so I get that that's an unreliable source of information. But people are still ranting and raving about what Green Bay put on tape on Monday night against the Eagles. I heard Dan Orlovsky and Chris Canty arguing this morning on my drive in on Unsportsmanlike about Jordan Love. They feel very differently, Gabe, about Jordan Love, where he is, what he's shown this season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's two guys that I know. Canty was on First Take earlier this week talking about how, you know, I guess maybe he's a Matt LaFleur guy. I don't know, but he was ranting about how Jordan Love's going to get Matt LaFleur fired because he's not good enough. And, Orlovsky, a little more nuanced. He's diving into the tape, and he kind of likes what he sees. I guess when it comes to quarterback play, I'm going to rely on the quarterback. And also, like we've seen the good stuff from Jordan. But this is, when it comes to Jordan, we were hoping he would take that step closer to consistency that we have not obviously seen. Which is tough when you're under pressure 40% of the time.
It's all because of Carolina. If they smoked Carolina and they played like this, everyone would be like, eh, you know, Buffalo has a game like this. Everyone kind of has a game like this.
Oh, the old clunker.
It's compounded by the crap they laid at home against Carolina. And now it's just snowballing.
And I think that that was compounded by the performance they had against the Browns, right? If the Browns exist in a vacuum, I think you're like, eh, to your point, Chew, you have a clunker, you figure stuff out. If you, like you've said, Gabe, if you go out against the Panthers and you show that you learned from those errors.
You score 31 points. Win that game 31-16.
Shrug.
And then even exactly what happens on Monday happens.
NBD.
And it's 10-7. It's like, eh.
Right, like, just
they offense. Had an off night too.
Yeah, they had a couple of good defenses, couldn't figure it out. You didn't have Tucker Kraft, takes more time. Like you could, the excuses could just write themselves.
They would be saying, ah, Philadelphia and Green Bay, kind of the same team.
Yeah.
See in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's can you imagine if these two teams meet up in the playoffs again?
Yeah,
what kind of fun would that be? That would be the conversation around the Green Bay Packers team.
I tell you what, they lose to the Giants and over. Done. Smell ya. Go to next year.
You think that's too far? You think they can't come back from that?
Yeah. That would tell me the tents are folded, the car's packed, feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
And it's done.
The Giants, who are currently coachless, or at least interim coached, they are. What's the Jackson Dart latest? He's out, right? I saw Jameis Winston is.
Yeah, it seems that they're going to keep him out of the game with a concussion. So Jameis is going to be their starter.
Scattering
is
out. Like it's not.
Oh, yeah, you
want to
talk about a team
Giants
that's beat
team.
Up?
But yeah,
let me.
That's
a team.
If you guys know who you're picking, I don't know who I'm picking yet. I really don't.
I'm picking the Giants to cover the 7.5 or 6.5, whatever it's at. That's for damn sure.
That's a good bet. Gosh. That is a solid bet. And what's the under? 7?
I think it's like in the 40s, if I remember.
No way.
It's low 40s.
Slam the under, too.
43.5 is the total.
What a brain by me.
That's solid.
So here's the thing, right? I've always been taught that it's all well and good to just complain about things, but if you don't have solutions, you're just adding to the problem. So I figure here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we could be a little solution-oriented, and it is inspired by our guy, Joshy. Joshy, your big brain, as you just referenced, coming through for us earlier this week.
Whoa.
What?
You don't need to pump him up any more than he... Like, let's not do that.
Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to take credit for this idea.
You don't have Joshy. Look, there's a difference between not taking credit... And then pumping up Joshy.
There's a sweet spot, you're saying.
Yeah, yes.
Hit the sweet spot.
You didn't find it.
Hit the strike zone, would you? Hey, try to paint the corners here. Joshy, your idea earlier this week when we were talking was, screw it, let's try it. And it was, the things you've been doing aren't working. Uh-huh. This is a dusty, boring, predictable, vanilla offense that the Green Bay Packers are currently running. We all agree the defense looks terrific. The defense has been doing their job. They've been holding teams to under 16 points. That is what you should do as an NFL defense, and you should expect that your offense can put up more points than that, and you can walk out of those games with wins. But the offense has been blech. So, screw it. Let's try it. Joshy, can you give me a little, I don't know, game show music, a little, like, ideas music, a little creative? That'll work, yeah. Da-da-da. Okay, so we're throwing out ideas here today. This is the idea of the segment. It's screw it, let's try it. Or silty, if you will. Maybe you don't want to say screw it, let's try it. You can refer to it as silty. Give me some ideas of things that the Green Bay Packers could do to shake up this offense, to leave the defense guessing. Gabe, I'll start with you.
Let's go one game. Again, you don't have to do it for the rest of just one game without a bubble screen. Can we just go one game? That's all I'm asking. I just want one game where Matt LaFleur doesn't call the play, where Jordan Love takes the snap, looks to his left, and flips it to Savion Williams to, at best, gain 2 yards. Let's just go ahead and let's just punt on that one for a week. Let's just see if the offense can operate without it. Let's just see if we can do it.
I'm writing it down. Eliminate the bubble screen.
Wait till Jaden Reed comes back.
Yeah, let's just sure. Again, last I checked, he's not playing this week. All right, let's just take it out this week
Shelve
and let's
it.
See if
That's
the offense can function without the little bubble screen to Savion Williams.
All right, I like it. I like we're starting a little small. We're starting a little like, hey, let's not do the thing you've been doing because it hasn't been working. What else? Chewy, you got a screw it. Let's try it for the Packers this week against the Giants.
Let's let Jeff Hafley not only call the defense but call the offense.
Whoa, all right. We went from no bubble screens to the other end of the extreme, the other end of the spectrum here.
You know
try
what's
it for
up?
A week.
I suggested the same exact thing, but my wrinkle was adding Matt LaFleur to calling the defense. So just complete switch.
Oh.
Switcheroo.
A little Freaky Friday.
Bless America.
I've got an idea here. Hear me out. Why don't we run the Wildcat? It took over the NFL at one time. You can't run the ball the way you're trying. Bring back the Wildcat.
Do you know who you want the Wildcat to be?
I want them all.
Okay.
I want Chris Brooks, Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson. Hell, Savion Williams. Maybe he can find a role back there.
All right,
imagine all those options.
You have to have an audition because you got to see who throws the football the best.
Well, we're not because really going to be throwing it, let's be honest.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, you can. But, like,
yeah, you know what?
I feel
you
like
guys,
the only time you throw it is when you're inside the five and you decide to run it and the tight end can just kind of leak out. And
we're starting at ground zero. Yeah, pass you know plays what? Come third week.
You would be surprised how many football players cannot throw a football.
I don't think I would be.
No?
I mean...
Well, so few of them have to do it, actually.
Well, I mean, and again, it's just high school football, Chew, but, I mean, there were some really good athletes, like, that would go on, that I knew that would go on to play college athletics and other sports. Could not throw football.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
800-990-3776.
Well,
this
even
morning,
football coaches.
We're thinking outside the box. We're getting creative. What the Packers offense has been doing is not working. It's too vanilla. It's too predictable. Defenses are calling out plays on the field. They know what Matt LaFleur's playbook looks like. So let's change it up a little, all right? No idea is too extreme, especially if Chewy can start with Jeff Hafley calling the offensive plays. Here's something for you. Why don't you run tempo for an entire drive? Right out of the gate, okay? I'm not talking late in the game when you need to be aggressive. Run tempo early on, okay? Just an entire series of moving quickly. Because it feels like when they do that, they got to get out of their heads a little bit, right? They're just kind of looking for the open guy, and it feels like that's when things have gotten into a rhythm. Run tempo for an entire drive early in the game.
How about a fake punt or fake field goal?
When's
the last time that has been done, Gabe?
I mean, the only one I could think of, Chew, and they've had to have run something since then. They've had to have run something since the Tom Crabtree play, because that was like 15 years ago at this point. They had to have had a fake field goal.
Unless
punt.
There was a muff, you know?
Yeah.
I can't remember a designed, you know, fake a punt or field goal. Just try it. I mean, you're playing a crappy team.
I've got maybe a moneymaker here.
Okay.
We've seen Micah Parsons be a monster. Micah Parsons, tight end. Specialties package.
I kind of
So
like
we're talking
it.
Like inside the 10?
Yes.
Inside the 10, bring in full, Micah.
Or fullback. You saw how New
Little
England did
back?
It.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You saw how New England did it with their D lineman, and that guy is a beast.
Getting Micah Parsons in a little space there?
Oof. Yeah.
He's quick.
Listen.
Can he catch? Do we have any idea if he can catch?
No bad
ideas.
We'll
work on it.
Okay.
He can hit the jugs.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of reaction rolling in already on the Carbless Talk and Text line. It would appear as though the Packers faithful are also interested in changing it up a little, shaking it up a little. Put Malik Willis at quarterback for 10 plays. That from John in the 920. Johnny gets a little bit more pedestrian here. He says, screw it. Let's try it. Catching the ball, making the throws that are there, blocking the guy across from you. It's not that complicated.
Not helpful. Too direct.
I mean, honestly, those are good ideas as well.
Since the first one you mentioned there about Malik Willis having a package, what about, and hear me out, Jordan Love and Malik Willis on the field at the same time?
I love it. Why not? Screw it.
Little
Let's
whodunit.
Try it.
Oh, I was about to say, that's just kind of, I feel like that's the next evolution of the Wildcat, right? Yeah, you go from two running backs. Oh, now that you think you're ready for two running backs back there, what do you do with two quarterbacks back there?
Exactly.
Now what are you going to do?
Have the defense guessing.
I mean, the other one that I've got that it's pretty simple. Something that Joshy and I have been longing for quite some time at this point. Screw it, let's try it. What if we just, like, give Matthew Golden 8 targets in a game?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what if we decide to take the guy who was a first-round pick, who has multiple skills that all these other wide receivers have and combined into one player?
Including 4.2 speed.
Let's just try to give him like 8 targets. See what happens. See if that could jumpstart an offense.
Could work too.
Is he playing this week?
I listened to Matt LaFleur's press conference. They said they are trying to work him back in to see where he's at. No idea what that means, but seems possible.
Okay.
800-990-3776. It's a silty morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Screw it. Let's try it. What the Packers offense has been doing isn't working. We're trying to think outside the box a little here, offer some suggestions, offer some solutions. I got a lot of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. I love that everybody is sort of playing along with us, right? Colin in the 414 says, all receivers and corners switch positions, not just Bo Melton, all right? So you're throwing the receivers out there as your DBs. You got your DBs coming in to catch the ball. It's going to be disastrous, but you know what? Screw it. Let's try it. How much worse could it be?
Just trying to picture Malik Heath trying to cover someone right now, and it's bad.
Let's go out to the phone lines this morning, guys. Andy and Grafton waiting patiently on the line. Andy, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Screw it. Let's try it. What do you got?
Well, I thought of a third one. So since your offensive line is struggling, maybe don't snap the ball at one on the play count every single time you're dropping back to pass.
Again.
Two. If you want to be a running football team, maybe put Jordan Love under center so then Josh Jacobs can actually run to get the football instead of standing still and then handing the ball off to him.
I agree. Another thing, it's so much better for your play action game to not be in the shotgun.
And third, maybe throw the ball on first down every once in a while.
That's asking too much. That's crazy.
That's a bridge too far.
That's crazy.
I think I would want to extend that to second down as well. They threw the ball ran the ball 75% of the time on second down.
I did have an epiphany in the last 24 hours, guys. Remember how I've been so angry about Matt LaFleur saying I hate third down? Yeah, I would too if it was always 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. You know, like that is really what is directing your relationship with third down right now.
Has there ever
Matt LaFleur
been more mixed messaging than a person saying they hate third down yet running it on 2nd and 7 to get to 2nd and 9.
Yeah, just setting up the worst possible scenario for your offense. Don weighing in the 262. Try a no-huddle offense. Roll out the quarterback. Switch to Malik Willis. 5 wide. No Melton. 6 linemen. Anything is better than what we've seen. This is why we are here, guys. This is why we are here. What the Packers have been doing offensively isn't working. There's a lot of conversation, as I mentioned at the start of the segment, about why isn't the Packers offense better than we think it should be? And I love these ideas. So keep them coming all morning long. We've got Jason Wilde coming up. You guys have got us on a really good start. I have a feeling Joshy has a few more up his sleeve, a few more strong ideas for screw it, let's try it, Packers offense edition. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Keep getting us your reaction. Jason Wilde coming up right after this.
It's back! The Black Friday event at Ewald Automotive Group is the biggest event of the year. Shop vehicles with up to $10,000 off or 0% financing or zero down. They'll do whatever it takes to move all remaining 2025s. Their biggest savings of the year, lowest interest rates, maximum trade values, and a huge selection. Black Friday is back now at every Ewald location. You should be trusting them just like I've trusted them for years. It's very easy. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
Let's get to Jason Wilde, who was at 1265 yesterday. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We've gone off the rails a little bit here. We have a segment today called Silty, which is screw it, let's try it. We're just throwing out, you know, some outrageous, some pretty standard ideas just to shake the dust off of the offense that we have seen so far this year. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you come up with anything, screw it, let's try it, you know, because it can't be much worse than what we've seen, you let us know, okay?
The beer.
Okay. I mean, I've seen some high school programs that have been running the Veer lately.
Yeah.
Jason, let's get to yesterday at 1265. I know, you can tell we're all excited about the Veer as an option for the Veer Green Bay Packers. So we want to play this sound from Matt LaFleur because you did have an exchange with him about play calling. So Josh is going to cue up the sound from yesterday at Matt LaFleur's press conference.
Uh-oh.
Or not.
A problem.
Or not.
I can see
God,
it.
God, I was so good yesterday.
I can see it. I just can't hear it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
With Walter Cronkite.
Hold on. Maybe I can just air the audio.
Okay. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
First of all, you're not going to give up play calling, I assume?
No.
I'm not suggesting you should.
Ah, but you kind of were.
No, I definitely wasn't. Because here's the question. Who on their staff are you sitting there going, oh, he'd be good to do that. Oh, he'd be good. Like, hey, let's have Luke Getsy do it, who got fired from 2 different offensive coordinator jobs. And that's why he's back here, right? Like, I don't think they have anyone else more qualified to do it. And frankly, you know, I understand that the last 2 weeks have been really bad, but like that doesn't strike me as a solution. So that's why I chose to phrase the question that way. Because then it sets up obviously the follow-up question, which we may or may not hear.
Jason, I don't know if you heard the nugget that
Wait, are we really not hearing the rest of that?
I don't think we are. I think Joshy's scrambling. We've got some technical issues going on right now.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, I have to keep it in perspective, and it's week to week. And certainly, I mean, I promise you, as frustrated as anybody may be out there, I promise you, you're not as frustrated as I am. So, but I also got to keep, you know, I believe in our guys. And so, you know, it's all about just finding solutions, and I can't worry. What has happened in the past, it's happened, unfortunately. So there's no reason in just, like, beating yourself up over it. You better have a short-term memory, and you got to move on. Not to say that you don't take that into account. Certainly you study the tape, and you try to be critical of everything, from yourself to just the play and all and everything in between. So, yeah, we're working hard at it, I promise you. We're working hard, and, you know, bottom line is, on Sunday, we have to go out and perform better.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you.
Coach speak.
All right, am I supposed to say something now?
I think we're all confused. You called for the sound. Do you have any follow-up on the sound that you heard from Matt LaFleur yesterday?
Yeah, no, I just wanted you guys to tell me how great of a job I did. That's the opposite of what I hear on social media.
How very chewy of you, by the way.
God, you are good, Wildy. God, you're my Jason.
Hey, everybody,
Wildy,
come and hear how good
hero.
I was.
Yeah, that's good, kid.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So I understand the frustration, and obviously so does LaFleur. I will say that I in terms of what a great job I did yesterday, I did enjoy the exchange about being on the tablet on the sideline with his back toward the field as well. That was one of my other favorite moments. But I understand. I do. I take this. I know it sounds like we're goofing around right now, but I understand how deeply fans care about this. I totally get it, and I'm so thankful that they do, because that's what makes what we do relevant, right? I'm not sitting here curing childhood cancer. But I do think that if you ride the roller coaster to the degree that some folks do, you kind of need to be reminded of perspective, right? Including if you think back to some of the great seasons that the Packers have had, including one that the knucklehead that's on this show was on the team for. Like, we all knew you guys were a Super Bowl team in 96, right? We all knew you were ready to make that jump. You know, the previous year you'd gone to San Francisco and won. You had the lead in Dallas until, you know, Gil Haskell cracks his skull on the ground when he gets run over on the sideline. And the your arch enemies find a way to win once again. But you had that blip in the middle of the season where you not only lost back-to-back games, but you're losing to the St. Louis Rams at the TWA Dome, and you need Doug Evans' interception to kind of turn things around. And so I get it, and there's certainly disconcerting aspects. Again, 2010, another Super Bowl team. And by the way, I do not believe this year is a Super Bowl team. So I'm not saying that in the end there's going to be these parallels to those two championship teams. But, like, I was going to text Mike McCarthy today and ask him if he had a couple of minutes to come on our show at some point, because in 2010 they had built their offense around JerMichael Finley. And then JerMichael Finley tears his meniscus. They opt for season-ending surgery on his meniscus, and suddenly now they have to kind of reinvent their offense. Now, I don't think the Packers of 2025 had built their offense around Tucker Kraft to the same degree that McCarthy had with J. Mike, who some on the panel questioned his wisdom and sharpness, but they do have to make adjustments now, because as we saw on the 3rd and 10 play, Luke Musgrave is not Tucker Kraft. We're not even having the conversation about the 4th and 1 follies of call a timeout, run a quarterback sneak, inside zone over here, We're not having any of that if that's Tucker Kraft, because he runs that dude over and gets the first down. So I understand the frustration. I do, and I'm not poo-pooing that. I am a little irritated by the folks who felt like I can't reach Matt LaFleur and yell at him, so I'm going to go after the media that doesn't ask tough enough questions, and people who are posting the photo of LaFleur coming to the Cheesehead TV house and taking a picture with all those guys, which I'm not in, for the record. I did have a problem with that, but I get the frustration. I'm really, really, really eager to see how Sunday goes, because for all of the Giants' problems, and there are many, the fact that, A, they're going to get a bump from firing the coach, you see it all the time, and B, their front four is really good at rushing the passer. They got a bunch of first-round picks across the front. That is going to be a challenge for this now reconfigured offensive line. I just feel like this is a game where we're going to find out a lot about the trajectory of this team. Do they play down to the quality of the opponent? Can the offensive line handle their pass rush? They're not very good against the run. Can they run the ball effectively, finally, after all these times where they've been so inconsistent? And are they going to play not mistake-free football, but reduced mistake football, and come out with a win? Because God knows they need it after the way the last 2 weeks have gone.
Jason,
Jason, go ahead, the offensive line, who's in if someone goes down?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who goes down, right?
Well, Jacob Monk would go to center, right? What about the other four positions? Who's the next man in?
So I there's a couple of issues here, right? Because I think what they've tried to do now, Deno was telling us a couple of weeks ago, that instead of doing the have one guy who does everything guy, like J-Mo was, they've kind of decided, well, we're going to designate clear-cut backups. Now, again, I don't know if that's better or worse. That, to me, says, after their top six, they figure everybody else is kind of the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing Darian Kennard, if something happens to Zach Tom. I'm guessing Anthony Belton, if something happens to Rashid Walker. You know, the guard thing, I don't know if it would be Belton or not if one of the guards went down, because this, to me, that's the spot where you're nervous, right? I mean, I don't know how you're not about that group, because to your point, you're one more injury away
mm-hmm.
from really having a situation where you don't feel great. I mean, I don't know Donovan Jennings very well, but Gabe, you know what I'm going to say next. The fact that he was taking first team reps in the offseason, and when somebody asked LaFleur what they thought of him, LaFleur didn't know that Donovan Jennings had taken first-team reps that day. So I don't think they saw him as a particularly realistic starter if they're giving him first-team reps and they're not really noticing. So he would handle the guard spots next. And then I believe we've covered everybody that's available on the offensive line at this point. So, you know, this is the old Ted thing too. Like, you always think you're deep until you're not, and you're a couple of sprained ankles away from being thin. They were just an Elgton Jenkins broken leg away from really being thin. We always felt like they had a good top six, even though their offensive line hasn't played that great this year. But they had, you know, they felt really good about having Jordan Morgan, who could do everything. Now that's not the case, because he's got to play right guard, because now their right guard is playing center.
Jason, I want to push back on the designing the offense around Tucker Kraft, because this offense is clearly designed around one person, and it's Josh Jacobs. They changed the way they run the football. They changed the way they block when they run the football. A lot of people's frustration of running out of shotgun comes down to he's more comfortable running out of shotgun Because we've had some texts like, oh, it's fourth and one. Why aren't you under center trying to? Because Josh Jacobs wanted to run the ball out of shotgun, and they want to make him as comfortable as possible. Is it tougher to come up with solutions because they drastically changed how they did something for a certain player, and now when they're struggling to do those certain things, it's tougher to come up with answers because LaFleur can't just go, oh, when we've struggled running the football under this type of offense, we can just go do this, this, and this. Whereas now everything's been changed up, it's tougher to come up with answers because he doesn't have as much experience running an offense where this and how they block it is the focal point.
Yeah, I want to say first, that's a great point. Second, you're such a jerk. Well, you know what I meant. I meant that they designed their passing game.
Sure, sure.
To focus on Tucker Kraft, you big... But you're absolutely right. And they have adjusted a lot of what they do. Now, I would argue that what I don't understand, forget, to your point, there's no question they've adjusted how they run. And I do think it's a mistake. Like the play action game, which we just grilled LaFleur about at the end of last season after they lost to the Eagles, right? I mean, at 30% of his press conference to wrap up the season was about their play action game. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen it improve much, except when they run it on like second and 14 from the 10. And you're like, why are you bothering? Who are you tricking with that? But so everything for our audience, everything Gabe said is accurate and fair. I would just push back and say on fourth and one, I don't care what they're thinking. They should just be running the quarterback sneak that worked
sure.
for them twice earlier
sure,
in the damn game.
I'm not talking about that play specifically, Jason, because I...
Well, you said that play.
I did say that play. But it's more of a larger overarching point. And TVV said something kind of similar last night on the Homer Hour. And mm-hmm. I've been kind of leading myself to a spot where I'm wondering, but I haven't said out loud, if... Is it possible that this team would be better if they never signed Josh Jacobs? Which is a really weird thing to say out loud because he had a top five season in the history of the Green Bay Packers as a running back last year. But if you can't marry what you want to do offensively because you rely on this one player so much and you have to change the way you do things, like, are you better off if he wasn't a part of the team and you could do things the way that you would prefer to do them? Yeah, this is I've said it out loud now, so I guess we're here. But it's just a thought that's been pestering and festering in the back of my mind, wondering if they would be better off without Josh Jacobs, which is wild because he's their best offensive player.
Yeah, how do you feel now that you've said it?
I don't feel great. Don't feel great. Yeah, feels weird to say out loud.
Yeah, I think it's a really fair point. What I would argue, and this would be, you know, for those that think that I don't criticize LaFleur enough, this would be it. Like at some point, and they have run more zone this year than they ran last year, but because the other thing he really likes is duo blocking scheme, right? At some point, the head coach and play caller, whether it's spreading around targets or running the running game the way his running back likes it, at some point, it is incumbent on the head coach to say, no, guys, look, you guys know I love you. You guys know I want to put you guys in the most comfortable positions for you, and I want to put this offense in position to succeed. Sometimes what's most comfortable for you is not what's going to make our offense most successful. And so, you know, I'm sorry, but sometimes we need to run the stuff that I think works best. And that's not always going to put you in a position where you're the most comfortable. Now, again, if I get to talk to Josh Jacobs today, I will talk to him about that because he is awesome when you ask him tough questions. Like he's not quite up to Charles Woodson's level during C. Wood's time with me covering him, when I could always count on, if I had a difficult question about the team, where it was at, about the defense, whatever it was, I knew Charles was going to shoot me straight. I think Josh Jacobs is the same way. I think if I get the opportunity to ask him about this, I think he will be very honest and forthcoming. And so that is on the to-do list for today. It was on there even before now. when you basically said that the Packers should regret signing their best player. So I will keep your name out of it.
I appreciate
that,
Jason.
Focus on the shotgun part of it. But, you know, some people are saying, Josh, that it was a mistake to sign you. How do you respond to them? I love people that ask questions that way.
You know what's crazy, Jason, to me? Holmgren would never allow that in a million years. He'd be like, I don't care what you want. I'll do what I want.
And I get that, and I don't want to call you a dinosaur. Yeah. But
you're about to call him a dinosaur?
No, because I am too, right? But you're right. All my buddies who covered Gruden in Tampa, they would all do their Gruden imitation. And one of the phrases that he would always say was, "We do what we do." I was going to try mine, and I'm just not up for it at 7:40. Check me again at like 9. But we do what we do. That was his philosophy, right? And that's just not the world that the NFL lives in now, whether it's the way they treat players, the way they want to adjust to what they see defensively to adjust their play to make it work better.
But to me, Jason, I understand why they did it, because that's what the best coaches do. Because even Bill Belichick wasn't a we do what we do guy. Belichick would switch up what he did defensively based on the personnel
every week.
Yeah, he would just switch things up because, hey, this is what this guy does best, even if it's not what I want him to do best.
But back to the shotgun as opposed to under center, the timing is different with the offensive line. Okay?
Yep.
When you're in the shotgun handing it off, it is different than under center. So to me, LaFleur should be able to look at that and go, the timing's screwed up here. You know, we can do the same under center or shotgun, and it's a half second difference. And things have to develop. And I understand why Josh Jacobs wants that ball quickly so he can see. But things have to develop. You know, it's got to be an orchestra. Things have to mesh. Guys have to come off at the same time. And it's just, you know, and I didn't know this, but I'm smart enough to know that the offensive line is all about timing, getting off of blocks, moving up to the next level. And if your timing is off by a half second, that could account for why they suck at running the ball. Okay, I'm done.
I don't know if I was supposed to respond. I was looking at the clock, and I can't see Jen's face, but she's thinking, oh, my God, these three idiots, just shut up enough.
No, already. I think it's great. Honestly, I think this is a conversation that we have been sort of tiptoeing around for several weeks.
Because Josh Jacobs is really good.
And nobody out there is like, I wish he wasn't on the roster. But we were discussing it during the break. If this is the type of scheme that he prefers – was this an error in how did you not know this when you decided to bring him on your team? Or, you know what I'm saying? There's something in there that just feels like a miscommunication or an oversight or something of like, wait, this is the scheme that Josh Jacobs prefers. We don't run that scheme. Are we going to change our scheme to what Josh Jacobs runs? Is Josh Jacobs willing to adjust to our scheme? Like, I would love to know if those conversations took place before they sort of just went, guys, we got Josh Jacobs, you know, because we all think that was a great addition to the offense, obviously. But it does seem like there's been some transition, learning curve, you know, a little bit of challenges there with getting him acclimated and getting the offense acclimated to him. All right, Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Get rid of Josh Jacobs. All right, guys. Take care.
You know,
what's
crazy is that there's some knuckleheads out there that are going to hear this conversation and think that that's what we're saying, and it is not what we are saying. We're just trying to figure out how these two sides can coexist and have success based on what we've seen. We'll continue this conversation right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Hey, let me tell you about our good friends at Events by Design. Saw them up at the Trio this past week. Always good to see them, hang out with them. But they can boost your culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. I've seen them do huge, big, grand events like the Buck Soiree. I've seen them do little things like add to our golf outing. So anything in between those two, a big soiree inside Fiserv Forum, or just playing music in walk-up songs for our partners on the 14th hole, the ESPN Milwaukee Open, anything in between that, that's where Events by Design can come in and help you. So you can retain top talent by investing in your culture today, because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Just search online, Events by Design. They design, You party.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well,
gonna have to clip that.
Yeah,
for me?
That's that. I mean,
just hold on to it.
Yeah. I know. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just I think it's something in my brain's telling me
something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
St. Nick meets St. Kate. It's Jen Latta here letting you know that the holidays are in full swing at St. Kate the Arts Hotel, where every celebration shines just a little bit brighter. Browse unique gifts at the holiday marketplace, gather for unforgettable Christmas Eve and Christmas Day dining, and of course, don't miss brunch with Santa, a family favorite filled with joy, treats, and holiday magic. Celebrate the season at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Visit stkatearts.com/holidays for all of your festive details. Chewy, I think you have to help us here as the resident football brain with the zone versus duo concepts, okay? So mm-hmm. We just had the conversation about Josh Jacobs being added to the team. He had a fantastic season, but it did require a little bit of changing of the way that the offensive line works. So for folks out there who are going zone, duo, inside, outside, what do we mean by the fact that they changed that the way that the offensive line had to do their jobs?
Well, we were a zone blocking team, which means it's combination blocking, okay? And here's how it works. As a tight end, right, I deal with the tackles, right? So we have to combination block because a lot of times linebackers are stacked. So the way I was taught with Tom Lovett is bring level one to level two, which means be patient. But it changes with both of your tackles, right? So I had Bruce Wilkerson and Earl Dotson. Bruce was a dinosaur. Earl was young. So I knew, let's say they were running off tackle my side and it's me and Bruce. I knew I had to secure that first level more with Bruce than I did with Earl. Okay? Just because Bruce was not as good as Earl. Earl, I could come off quicker because I knew Earl would take it over. The problem with this, the difference between shotgun running and under center, shotgun's a lot quicker, right? And here's the deal. Linemen do not care about formation. Okay, so I'll give you a basic call. Double wing right, 96 lead, okay? The only thing the offensive linemen care about is 96 lead because your right tackle always lines up on the right, your left on the left. So they don't, when you're in the middle of the game, a lot of times they're not hearing gun. Gun right, 96 lead. They don't care about that. So they really have to be conscious of hearing that, and sometimes they don't, because the difference between gun right and just double wing right is double wing the runner center. Now that play takes a longer time to develop. And you can stay on the block a little longer. Okay, when you hear gun, you know you don't have as much time and I got to come off quicker. So it's just very confusing. Timing is everything in the run game. And I think that potentially could be part of their problem because they're not letting the play develop.
Gabe, is it your understanding that converting from a zone blocking scheme to a duo blocking scheme presents challenges?
Well, the issue that I have, they obviously did it very well last year because they made the changeover last year, and Josh Jacobs had a fantastic season. But I think the issue is because part of what we've talked about is, man, they just don't seem to marry anything up. Where's the outside zone? You stretch, but then it's a boot around, then you flip it to the tight end, you get your easy 8 to 10 yards. Those plays are missing because, well, they don't run that stretch outside zone play. And you can't really run that as a play-action play when you haven't set it up as a run play. And so much of what this offense has done, again, going back to the Kyle Shanahan style of doing things, like so much is predicated off those different play action. And I think what they've struggled with is, okay, how do we get everybody else involved? How do we get our play-action game going when this is how we have to do things? And we don't have... I know Chewy said bread and butter 6,000 times already this season. We can't run what our typical bread and butter plays are with our play action. And I think that's where the transition's been hardest. Because last year, again, they were able to do it last year with a lot of these same guys. And they had a lot of success running the football. but you were bringing Aaron Banks in from that old style, the way you used to do things, into this new style. And you gave him a bunch of money. And that changes how good he can be, right? So it's I look at it as, like, they can do it, but I think LaFleur and company have struggled how to marry how Josh Jacobs wants to run the football with how Matt LaFleur prefers to do things.
And it changes week to week, Jen, okay? Because you determine against certain teams. Like Tampa Bay, we knew we couldn't run outside, so you run downhill at them, right? Sometimes you play teams where the linebackers are a little bigger and you feel you can get to the edge. The running game to me is just like the passing game. It's like, where's the damn flow? You know, it just doesn't seem flowy.
And Gabe, you're basically saying that they had to eliminate some of their plays because those plays that would set up other mm-hmm. plays didn't fit with the way that Josh Jacobs yeah. wants to run the ball.
Mm-hmm. And trying to kind of do some of the different things. Again, you probably run some of the right, same route concepts. It just is going to look different.
My guess is Josh Jacobs is not a patient runner. He wants the ball right away, see the hole, and mm-hmm. smoke the hole. He's not someone to let things develop, get the ball.
Put the foot in the ground and hit it.
Your hole. Yes. That my guess is that's why he likes the ball out of the shotgun, because it's in his belly quicker.
Which, if we're being honest, kind of feels like what Saquon Barkley is, right? When I think about Saquon Barkley, there is that, I feel like, level of patience, mm-hmm. that willingness to wait for the hole yeah. to develop. And you just mentioned, put your foot in the ground and make a move.
And then you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That might be, you know, just somebody who we have obviously seen recently that is a different style of running than what we're seeing from Josh Jacobs. Anyway, it's an interesting conversation. I do think it is something that Gabe has sort of been tiptoeing around for weeks. And our guy Tim Van Vorn from Fox 6 did say something of that, like, to Homer. We're going to get to that as the show rolls on. We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but still a lot of stuff to get to as the Packers prep for their game against the Giants this weekend. Did you know Great Midwest Bank is celebrating 90 years of serving southeastern Wisconsin homeowners? That's right, 1935 to 2025, a long history of helping families right here in our community. And I've experienced it myself, not just with my mortgage, but everyday banking too. They've got checking, they've got savings, even 24/7 mobile banking, all very convenient, but still comes with that personal touch from local people, real people who understand your needs. That's why I trust Great Midwest Bank. You can find a location at greatmidwestbank.com. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit?
Gotten?
A little? No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be. That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Black Friday lasts just not one day at XGolf at American Family Field, but it is 3 days. Starting November 28th through the 31st, you can get 20% off your gift cards at XGolf at American Family Field with a maximum of $300. So if you are looking for that gift, for that golfer in your life, but you don't know what to get them because it seems like they have everything, everybody always would love sim time at XGolf inside of American Family Field. Just a beautiful facility inside the ballpark overlooking left field with 7 state-of-the-art simulators. So it's a great stocking stuffer idea. So stop by XGolf at American Family Field on Black Friday through the 31st of November as well. It doesn't last just one day. And get 20% off your gift card purchases up to $300 at XGolf at AmFam Field.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line this morning. Justin says, I think it's simple. Goody gets the players. LaFleur has to figure out if they fit his scheme. Goody doesn't talk to LaFleur or take his input at all. And then Tim weighing in saying, respectfully, guys, if LaFleur can't figure out how to use a great player like Jacobs, he's not the offensive genius everyone thinks he is and would have to go. The answer isn't sign a lesser talent because your head coach offensive play caller has no imagination to use them. Thoughts, Gabe?
I guess the way I look at this is, on paper, yes, that makes sense. But take a look at the Milwaukee Bucks this year. Like, on paper, like, they should be better with Damian Lillard, right? And they just never made it work with Dame and Giannis for whatever reason over the course of 2 years, whether it's injuries, whether it's just, you know, their play styles just didn't fit the way that everybody thought because Giannis needs the ball more. That's the way I'm kind of looking at this. And it worked a lot last year because they were able to run the ball. They had some issues with Jordan Love, obviously, with his health. Malik Willis played a handful of games, and it all worked out. But, I mean, sometimes players just don't fit in. Look, I agree. Like, you got to figure out a way. If you have somebody like Josh Jacobs, you got to figure out a way to make this work. But maybe is that Josh having to switch up what he does from time to time instead of making sure Josh is as comfortable as he possibly can be 100% of the time? I don't know. I'm really curious to hear what his reaction is when Jason asks him about shotgun running later today during locker room availability.
Yeah, I'm not saying do away with it. It just can't be predominantly the way you run the ball. I mean, we talk about the passing game all the time on how your timing is thrown off. If the receiver's supposed to be at 15 yards and he runs it at 12, the timing, it's the same in the run game. Things have to time up. And right now, it just seems like they're a click off.
Well, again, going back to screw it, why don't we just try it? What happens if we just go back to the way Matt LaFleur wanted to run the football, the way you ran the football when Aaron Jones had a successful season a couple of years ago? Just go back to that for a game. See what happens. The way you've been doing it is bad. I saw Dan Orlovsky put out a tweet about the Packers' first down running. Their success rate is 25th. Their yards per carry on first down is 26th. That ain't working. So why not just try something else? Okay, Josh, I know you're comfortable with doing this, but if we run the way that I want to run the football and we have similar success rates, at least then we have things we can play off of this.
I do think there, and the Josh Jacobs portion of this is important. I do think, and it's very obvious if you go back and watch some of the run plays that happened on Monday night, they are presenting the classic two high shell, and then those safeties are screaming down to the ball, and they are giving basically no credit to the even possibility of getting beat deep, because they know in that situation they're more than likely than not to get a run play, so they are going to then fill in the run game. And that, I think, points back to Matt LaFleur and sort of becoming predictable and teams being able to tell what you're doing. So you're making it even harder on yourself with an ineffective offensive line and a guy who's not running the ball at his best rate right now.
Well, it's hard to hide the ball
out of shotgun.
When you're in shotgun, yep, handing it off. It's so much easier to hide the ball when you're under center and you're dropping back.
Yeah, and so. I'm saying those guys are screaming down, not even reading keys. They know more likely than not we're getting a run play here, so we're not even really going to worry about if this ends up being a pass.
You mean they're not honoring the Statue of Liberty? That's
Well, just think about the way Brett used to do. Like, a lot of times, Chu, Brett would, like, put the Trump empty throw. Hand out. Right? Like, he would, if again, I've got my right hand out, his right hand would be empty, and because his back's to the defense, they just assume the ball's there, but he's hiding it on his left hip.
Yeah.
Aaron would do that all the time, like, again, when you're running it under center, and maybe you have to run the ball. Hey, Josh, I know you're more comfortable running the ball out of a shotgun, but here's what we're going to do for a couple games just to see if we can jumpstart this offense, to see if this can work, to see if you can adjust instead of having everybody else adjust around you.
I like that as an idea for screw it, let's try it. I also think you talked earlier, Gabe, about the predictability of the offense. There will be four words forever immortalized when it comes to the predictability of the offense, and it's inside zone this way. Right? Like, I mean, everyone heard it. It's the call heard around the world. It's the, we know exactly what this team is doing. Josh Jacobs has talked about how uncomfortable that made him in that situation, hesitant even to run where he was supposed to run because they know where I'm going. This play has no shot at succeeding, and it was a very bad look for the offense. Maybe that will be the wake-up call that the Green Bay Packers need to start implementing something different, something unique, something a little less predictable. Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Closets by Design. They're doing something really special this holiday season. They've launched a holiday food drive to help families right here in our community who may have been impacted by the most recent government shutdown. Their goal, of course, is to make sure at least 100 families enjoy a holiday meal this year. Closets by Design in Mequon is family-owned and operated by Doug and Cindy Gowert. Giving back is just a part of who they are. As Doug says, when times are tough, family and community come first. So they are asking all of our loyal listeners to join their mission to pack the van and feed a fam. Stop by 6040 West Executive Drive in Mequon during business hours and drop off a non-perishable food, toiletry, or cash donations to help somebody in our community in need. Let's fill that Closets by Design van and make sure no family goes hungry this holiday season.